Glad to see each one here with us today. Looks like we're going to have a beautiful spring day. Maybe spring has come, maybe not, but at least we're having a day of it today. We had some visitors with us today, and we're always happy about that. There are quite a few of our own members who are away. There's about 30 of our families and young people that have gone to down to the Gatlinburg area in order to attend the Christian Youth Conference. And it's been a wonderful event. Some of us have been able to keep up information about it. There were 93 young people that were baptized last night. There are over 12,000 in attendance. So these are encouraging things for our young people and for their family. And we certainly want to pray that they will be able to return home safely. I'm sure that they're en route even as we speak. This morning I wanted to continue our discussion on being like Jesus that we have been involved in this month by looking at prayer in the life of Jesus and asking, do we pray like Jesus prayed? You know, although Jesus taught several lessons about prayer, and we see many examples of Jesus praying, Jesus did not have a lot to say about why prayer was important to him. The clearest statement that I can find is when Jesus talked about his own prayers in John the 11th chapter. The occasion was on the death of Lazarus. When Jesus learned about Lazarus' death, he did not immediately go to Bethany. Jesus knew that he was going to raise him, but he explained to his disciples, the sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. And even though Jesus knew that, he really was not prepared for the grief that he would see and experience because of Lazarus' death. His sister Martha was distraught, and even to the point of questioning Jesus. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We're told that Mary also joined Jesus at the tomb, and she fell down at his feet crying. And she also said, Lord, if you had not been here, or if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. In verse 33 of John 11, we are told that when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. In verse 34, the writer simply says, Jesus wept. And the response of the people that were with him was, see how he loved him. We sing the song, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. What did Jesus do? Well, Jesus did what came naturally to him. He prayed. In verse 41, we're told that they took Jesus to where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And then with a loud voice, he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. What did prayer mean to Jesus? Well, it meant everything. He knew that God would hear him. He knew that God always heard him. And he wanted everyone to know that what they were about to witness was from God. And it was an answer to prayer. Jesus did talk about prayer in the life of Christians. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, he spoke of wrong motives to pray when he talked about those who prayed in order to be seen of men. He gave a lesson on how to pray. He told a parable or two that illustrated belief in and persistence in prayer. But the primary way that Jesus taught us to pray was by his own example. It was in response to his example, we read in Luke, the 11th chapter, in the first verse, Now it came to pass that when he was praying in a certain place, that when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Yes, Jesus did give us a model prayer, a template, if you will, for the spirit and content of prayer. But how many of us have longed to know what it really means and what it would really be like to have the kind of praying relationship with God that Jesus had? How many of us would long to be able to say, Father, I thank you for hearing me, and I know that you always hear me. Well, this morning I want for us to look at prayer in the life of Jesus so that he can teach us how to pray. One thing that you cannot help but see is the amount of time that Jesus spent in prayer. You know, the Gospels only show us 3 years in the life of Jesus and reference only about 30 individual days. But in those times, there are 30 recorded incidences of Jesus praying. You know, one thing that we must not think is that Jesus, in a monk-like fashion, sequestered himself and spent days in meditation and prayer. Jesus was extremely busy. He was seeking and saving the lost. Every day he spent with people, teaching and healing, even feeding them. Someone has counted over 150 interviews that Jesus had with individual people, whether it be to a multitude or one at a time. You know, how often do we convince ourselves that the reason we do not pray as we ought to pray is because we're too busy? Well, do we really consider ourselves to be busier than Jesus was? If we are, the question would be, busy with what? And yet Jesus found time to pray. No, the truth is Jesus made time to pray. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, after a day in which had been totally spent with people, people were continually being brought to Jesus, the sick, the demon-possessed, even as the sun was setting. And yet we are told that in the morning, having arisen while it was still not daylight, Jesus went out, he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, we read of another occasion. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Now Jesus didn't find time to pray. Jesus made time to pray. You know, our attitude toward prayer depends on the strength that we derive from it. Have you ever been so busy, so emotionally distraught, that you didn't even take time to eat? We can probably think of occasions, maybe it involved illness of a loved one or something of that nature. But when we could and when loved ones compelled us, you really need to eat something because you're going to need the strength that comes from eating. Well, in the same way, like food for physical strength, we need prayer for spiritual strength. You know, I have heard this difference in perspective expressed this way. One man says, you know, I have so many things pressing today. I cannot possibly take time to pray. Someone else says, you know, I have so many demands on my time today. I don't think I could possibly get them done until I first take time to pray. Prayer is not something that takes away from our time and our focus and our strength. Prayer is something that accentuates our time and our focus. You know, most of us pray spontaneously. Our thoughts will turn to God as we drift off to sleep. Maybe in the morning commute as we're driving to work, we think about God and we have time of prayer. But how many of us have a set time to pray? You know, we're more likely to do something if we, as Jesus, separate ourselves at a certain time and in a certain place to pray. I found that most people are either morning people or night owls. I bet you would define yourself as one of those or the other. You know, if you are a morning person, instead of hitting the snooze alarm for an extra half an hour of sleep, then hit the prayer alarm and spend a half an hour in prayer. I have a friend who some years ago was telling me, and I knew he had a very stressful job. His work day and the other things that he was involved in generally took him from the first thing in the morning to the last thing at night. And he said, the way I found that I could unwind at the end of the day, he said at 11 o'clock he would watch the news, and then he would watch the first half an hour of the Jay Leno show. Well, he was telling me later on that one change he made that helped him the most spiritually, and he said it also really helped him to manage and make more effective use of his time, was he said, now I spend that last half hour of the day with the Lord instead of Leno. If we're going to learn from Jesus how to pray, we're going to have to take time for prayer. We're going to have to make time for prayer. Another thing that we can learn about prayer by looking at Jesus is that prayer is a solitary thing. Jesus usually prayed alone. Yes, there were times when Jesus prayed with the apostles. But you know, even when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane, he instructed them to pray, and then he himself went off in a further distance, and he knelt down in prayer. There are times when it is good to pray together. Public prayer is a part of our worship together. James tells us that prayer should be a part of our relationship with one another. In James 5 and verse 16, he said, confess your sins one to another and pray one for another. But prayer is ultimately a private matter. There's a cute story that is told about a little boy. His mother is putting him to bed at night, listening to his prayers. Then suddenly she didn't hear anything, and so she said to her little boy, son, I can't hear you. And he looked up at her with those innocent eyes, and he said, but Mama, I wasn't talking to you. Well, you know, prayer is private. It's personal communication between man and God. I can share things with God that I could not and would not share with anyone. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus warns that we should not be like the hypocrites when we pray. He said they love to pray standing in the corner of the streets and the synagogues that they might be seen of men. They didn't realize that prayer was that personal matter. Years ago, when I was preaching up in Caldwell, Ohio, that's the first place that I ever preached. And there was one restaurant in town at that time, right downtown, on the city square. The name of it was Gunnell's. And on Sunday after church services, people from all the downtown churches would be in there eating. I was in there on one occasion. The restaurant had been filled for some time. Most people had been there for some time. And a preacher from the area came in, and he stood up and he made quite a production of asking everyone in that restaurant to be quiet. And then he stood at his table and made a very eloquent prayer. Now, according to Jesus, those who pray in order to be seen of men have already received their reward. What they were looking for was recognition. What they were looking for was for people to think of them in a certain way. And that's the reward, Jesus said, that they receive. But you, Jesus continued, when you pray, go into your room, or the King James Version says closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. You know, sometimes when we see spiritual blessings that God is bestowing on someone, now, we may not know that person personally. We do not know about their personal relationship with God. But if someone is receiving spiritual blessings, then they are people of prayer. If we are ever struggling in our relationship with God, feeling weak and distant from God, we need to consider this, and that is, where is our prayer closet? Is there a specific time of day? And I tend to believe that if there's not a specific time to pray, then there probably is not a time to pray. Is there a specific place and time that makes your heart and your thoughts and your prayers automatically turn to God. And if there are not, then it is more than likely we are not praying as we should. A second thing that teaches us about prayer in the life of Jesus are the times when Jesus prayed. You know, most of us don't need to be encouraged to pray when we are struggling. A few years ago, there was a Christian woman, a young Christian woman. She had graduated from college, and she was becoming very discouraged because she had not yet been able to find her first meaningful job. And she told me, "I find myself praying more than ever." And I said to her, "Good for you." But I wondered, after she had that good job, if she continued to pray more than ever. As we look at Jesus, he went from being an unknown itinerant to the center of attention. Jesus was becoming famous. He was becoming popular with the people. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, we read, "However, the report went out concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Now, how did Jesus deal with this newfound success? In verse 16, we find that, "So Jesus himself withdrew himself to the wilderness and prayed." In John, the 6th chapter, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, there began to be what you could call a Jesus movement. In verse 15, we are told that when Jesus perceived that they were about to come by force and take him and make him king. Now, that would not have been a good thing, because they wanted him for all the wrong reasons. And the only kingdom that Jesus wanted to rule was God's. Well, how did Jesus deal with the pressures of success? Again, he departed to the mountain by himself to pray. You know, in reality, success is often a greater challenge than struggle. You know, I have known those who have succumbed to the lure of popularity. Through the years, I have known young preachers who succumbed to the lure of popularity. They prayed for opportunities to be successful instead of praying for opportunities to be ministering to people. Well, Jesus kept his level head. He remained faithful to his Father by prayer. Jesus prayed when he found himself at a crossroads, when there was an important decision that he needed to make. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, we read, "It came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God." What was pressing so intently in Jesus' mind that he prayed about it all night long? Well, the next verse tells us, "And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12. Which he also called apostles." You know, if Jesus felt it necessary to pray for God's guidance and wisdom when making an important decision, certainly we should as well. I wonder how many times churches have appointed elders or hired preachers or chosen Bible class teachers without prayer, without imploring God for wisdom and direction. And I wonder what the consequences have been of those prayerless decisions. I wonder how many of us have made career decisions, chosen who to marry, or what to involve our children in, or 100 other important life-altering decisions, content to lean upon our own understanding instead of leaning on the Lord. James tells us, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not." When we do not pray, we limit ourselves to the counsel of those who really know the least of what is truly best for us. Jesus prayed during times of greatest crisis, of most pressing temptation. Now, we know that when Jesus was baptized, that the heavens opened, and God declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That was a mountaintop experience as far as Jesus was concerned. That had to have been a high point. And immediately after that, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, how did Jesus prepare for that temptation? Well, he spent 40 days fasting and in prayer. And when the temptation came, Jesus had the strength to resist. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I wonder how many tragic sins and consequences of those sins could have been avoided if Christians would have taken the time to pray. Of course, we're very aware of Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. I think we do a disservice to the faith and the courage of Jesus when we imagine that the prospects of dying on the cross were any less agonizing to Jesus than they would be to you or to me. Jesus was a man. His prayer in Gethsemane was tortured. 3 times he went back and prayed, "If there's any other way," but there wasn't. Jesus agonized in prayer. His sweat beaded upon his brow as if it were great drops of blood. You know, sometimes we pray, "Lord, help me when the time comes." And then we do the work of overcoming temptation or dealing with trial. The prayer life of Jesus shows us that prayer is when we do the work, and that prayer is when Jesus gives us the strength and the help. You know, it was when Jesus was praying that he struggled, not when he was tempted. When Jesus was tempted, he could calmly say, "It is written." It was when Jesus prayed that he sweat great drops of blood. But when he was crucified, he was like a sheep led before the slaughter and opened not his mouth. He told women who followed him, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." He talked to the thief on the cross about being in paradise. He even looked down at the cross from the cross at those who crucified and said, "Father, forgive them." Now, where did Jesus get such strength? In prayer. Where was the victory won? In prayer. If we prepare our hearts and our lives by prayer, we can overcome any temptation. And we can triumph over any tragedy. Well, the final observation about prayer in the life of Jesus, and that is, how did Jesus pray? First of all, Jesus was submissive. Even in the matter of his crucifixion, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." There was one thing that was never in question in God's eyes or in Jesus, and that is, it was God's will to redeem man from our sin through the blood of his Son, and God's will would be done. Now, we're going to talk about this more tonight, but until we submit, until we really desire and understand that God's will must be done, until we are really submissive to God, regardless of what his will is, then we cannot pray meaningfully, and our prayers will not be answered. Looking at the prayers of Jesus, we find that they centered around other people and the importance of our need for God in our lives. Generally, people refer to Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13 as the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's true that Jesus gave that prayer to teach his disciples about prayer. But it would be more accurate to call John the 17th chapter the Lord's Prayer. Because this is the prayer that Jesus prayed. And in this prayer, we see what Jesus was focused on when he prayed. This was shortly before his crucifixion. The first thing that Jesus prayed for in the first five verses of John 17 was that Jesus prayed for himself. There's nothing wrong with taking our needs to God. God wants us to. In the model prayer, Jesus said that we should pray each day for our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with us praying that God will provide for our physical needs. Sometimes we forget that He is the one who does provide for our physical needs. He taught us to pray for our spiritual needs. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us of our sins, even as we forgive those who sin against us. All of these are legitimate needs for which we can pray. Well, Jesus also prayed regarding spiritual needs. Jesus prayed that through the cross he would glorify God. You know, I think we should pray before each day that our lives will glorify God. That my interactions with neighbors, friends, and fellow workers will glorify God. Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and with supplication, make your requests made known unto God." Secondly, Jesus prayed for others. John 17, verses 6 through 19, he prayed for his disciples. He did not pray that God would take them out of the world, but he did pray that God would keep them from the evil one and that God would sanctify them or set them apart by the truth. And then thirdly, Jesus prayed for you and he prayed for me. He prayed for all of those who would believe in him through their word. It is comforting and amazing to know that when Jesus was about to go to the cross, he not only realized the challenges that you and I would face, he knew the problems that we would be having 2,000 years later. He knew about my Christian life. He knew about your Christian life. He knew about his church. And he prayed for us. Well, what was Jesus' prayer for us? Well, what Jesus prayed about was our unity. In verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Well, why is that important? He said that the world might believe that you have sent me, and so that one day we might be with him in eternity. You know, maybe we would all be a little more conscious and conscientious about the way that we conduct ourselves, both in the world and in the church, if we would just stop and remind ourselves and remind one another that Jesus is praying for us. He is. He is praying for each one of us. That's how important we are to God. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 7 and verse 25 of Christ that he lives to make intercession for us. You know, when Peter was talking about being loyal to the Lord, and Jesus, knowing his heart and his weakness, saying that he would betray him, Jesus said, "I have prayed for you." You know, every time we are in a situation where we need God's help, we need to realize that God's help is there. We need to realize that Christ is making intercession for us, that he's praying for us. Maybe we would be more mindful of that when we are with a loved one or a neighbor or a friend who is lost, that they are important to God, that God loves them and Jesus died for them and he is praying for them. Are we? I truly think that the first step toward winning the lost is praying for them. And the more we pray for them, the more likely we are to do something to win them. In fact, I believe a good way to measure the life of any Christian is this. For what are we praying? This morning, each one of us should ask God, "Lord, teach us to pray." And each of us should seek to pray like Jesus prayed. pray. This morning, if you're outside of Christ, we're praying for you. And heaven is concerned. And those who respond in obedience to the gospel, we are told that the angels in heaven rejoice. It's important. Your soul is important. There's nothing more important. We remind you of that as the Lord's invitation is extended. This morning, if you need to respond for any reason, we encourage you to do so while together we stand and while we sing.